Some Chinese video surveillance equipment has sparked national security concerns in this country. So why is it still being offered for sale on a government marketplace site, despite a U.S. ban?
The concern is that, you know, these companies could sell equipment to U.S. government agencies that potentially the Chinese government could use to surveil, or they could have some kind of backdoor into this equipment, and that could be a security risk for U.S. Agencies.
Plus, how has everyday life in Hong Kong changed amid months of sometimes violent protests?
Protesters have been stopping trains from leaving stations, which means that your train is delayed or just doesn't arrive. Hong Kongers who haven't ever had to deal with transport issues are now having to think about whether they take buses instead or just leaving a little bit earlier. For parents in Hong Kong, it's a lot about, you know, figuring out ways to keep their kids safe.
This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. We'll have those stories in a moment. First, here are some other stories we're following. We've gotten some signs this week that the economy is shifting into a lower gear. The manufacturing sector is showing signs of a slowdown, and on Friday, Deere & Company provided fresh evidence of that. Deere reported lower sales for its third quarter and trimmed its sales and earnings forecasts for the year. Wall Street Journal Chicago reporter Bob Tita says weaker demand from farmers is one reason.
Farmers are not buying as many tractors and combines as they had been in the past, and that's reflected in Deere's sales and profits.
Bob says the China tariff dispute has really hurt.
The pain has been significant for farmers. China has been one of the U.S.'s biggest buyers of farm products for the past decade, and the trade dispute has resulted in a loss of all that business for the foreseeable future.
Deere cut production of farm equipment this spring and now plans production cuts for high-powered tractor models. A federal appeals court blocked the Trump administration from imposing tough asylum restrictions on Central Americans who arrive at the border in California and Arizona. But it gave the White House the ability to impose them in other border states, such as Texas and New Mexico. In a mixed ruling on asylum seekers, the San Francisco-based Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the administration hadn't made a strong showing that its policy, which effectively bars asylum claims from Central American migrants who pass through any other country on the way to the U.S., was lawful. It said the restrictions couldn't be imposed within the West Coast Circuit, which includes the states of California and Arizona. But the court also ruled that a trial judge had been incorrect to block the Trump rules nationwide, and the appeals court refused to do so. Wall Street stocks rose for a second day Friday, capping a very volatile week. The Dow Jones Industrials gained 306 points, or 1.2%, but the blue chips still lost 1.5% for the week. Markets have been buffeted by concerns about a weakening global economy, a slowdown in corporate earnings, and red flags in the bond market indicating a possible recession. A rule that took effect this week bans U.S. government agencies from buying video surveillance equipment from various Chinese companies. But despite the ban, thousands of pieces of Chinese surveillance gear have been offered for sale on an online superstore catering to government agencies. The surveillance equipment for sale has sparked national security concerns. With more on the story, we're joined from San Francisco by Asa Fitch of the Wall Street Journal. Asa, we're talking about thousands of pieces of equipment that shouldn't be listed on this site. Well, exactly what kind of equipment is this and who sells it?
Yeah, it's all kinds of equipment. It's mainly things like what are called IP cameras, or essentially cameras that are connected to the internet and do surveillance. It's that sort of thing. It's also recorders, you know, devices that are used to record that footage and so it can be examined later. So there have just been thousands of these types of devices listed on this government procurement website.
What are the companies that sell it?
Yeah, the companies that sell it are resellers, or some people call them vendors or contractors. They're essentially middlemen. They're generally small businesses spread across the country that are authorized by the government to sell products through this platform to federal government agencies. And they're not government-owned themselves, and they're required to follow the laws or the rules that the government sets. But despite that, a lot of this equipment has been showing up. Generally, it's been incorrectly labeled as made in the U.S. or Switzerland, whereas we know this equipment is only made essentially in China.
Now, you list the companies in your story as manufacturers, Hikvision and Dahua, and also another company that the agencies are prohibited from buying from, Huawei.
Yeah, that's right. There's a new, or not new, it was passed and signed into law a year ago. There's a new kind of restriction that affects government agencies' purchases of equipment from Dahua and Hikvision, also Huawei and ZTE, which is another major Chinese telecommunications company. So the concern is that, you know, these companies could sell equipment to U.S. government agencies that potentially the Chinese government could use to surveil, or they could have some kind of backdoor into this equipment, and that could be a security risk for U.S. Agencies. So that's the concern around it, and these concerns have been raised for many years now. Finally, there's a ban on the actual use or purchase, I should say, of this equipment.
Now, this is the General Services Administration Superstore, the online superstore. It's called GSA Advantage. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a major online superstore. It's been around for a very long time, and it makes purchases by government agencies much more convenient than doing it in more traditional ways. But, you know, it allows these resellers to very easily upload large numbers of pieces of equipment for sale. In fact, millions and millions of them. You know, some of these resellers say that some of this banned equipment sometimes falls through the cracks, and they try to do what they can to remove it. But obviously, as the story says, a lot of this equipment is still up there.
Isn't there something about resellers or some other companies falsely listing the manufacturing country of origin? In other words,
the equipment is listed generally as made in the U.S. or Switzerland. I mean, we know that the equipment's not made in those countries. What's not clear is the resellers are middlemen. They don't actually make this equipment. Obviously, they don't even actually distribute the equipment or fulfill the orders. Those orders are fulfilled by distributors, these large companies that essentially, you know, they get the stuff from the actual manufacturer and send it to the government agencies when they actually order it. It's not exactly clear how this false country of origin data is getting onto the GSA website. Of course, the resellers say that they were given data from the distributors and it's not really their fault. The GSA kind of says it's the reseller's responsibility to provide accurate data. So there's a little bit of a blame game there.
So the journal has gotten a list or found out that thousands of items are popping up on this site, which shouldn't happen. What's happening right now? Have these Chinese companies or the GSA successfully made any moves to stop this from happening?
Yeah, you know, since this new restriction came into effect on Tuesday, the GSA has said it's making efforts to use kind of automatic systems to remove some of these products. And since Tuesday, a large number of them have been taken down. There's still many up there, but it's been an ongoing issue, that being this type of equipment appearing on the website for a long time. Hikvision, in particular, has complained about its products appearing on the website because Hikvision knows that it's not supposed to have any products on there and doesn't want them to appear on there. So Hikvision has been communicating directly with the GSA, trying to get them removed, according to emails that we reviewed. So it's just been this persistent problem, these things appearing on the government superstore. Perhaps it's being solved now. Obviously, a lot of this equipment has been removed. I guess only time will tell whether it reappears in some other form. But, you know, there certainly is a lot more awareness about it after this ban took effect.
Wall Street Journal reporter Asa Fitch joining us from San Francisco. Thanks, Asa.
Thank you.
Next up, The Wall Street Journal's Lucy Kramer talks with Kim Gittleson about Hong Kong residents making adjustments in the wake of months of demonstrations.
We're going to be taking a look at all the adjustments that ordinary Hong Kongers have made after months of protests. This comes as thousands of Chinese paramilitary police have moved into a stadium just 5 miles from the city in a show of force from Beijing's government. To find out more about life in Hong Kong, I rang up Lucy Kramer. So, Lucy, talk to me a little bit about the genesis for your article.
Well, I suppose we're all living it day to day. The protests have become part of our lives. So even as reporters in Hong Kong, it's something we have to think about. And you're talking to people on the street or just talking to contacts, and everyone is talking about how this is changing or affecting just how they get to work in the morning or whether they decide to go out to the pub on a Saturday night. And so then we just started talking to people literally on the street about kind of some of the things that they were up to.
And what did you find? How are people adjusting?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of adjustments that are happening. Some of them are small, some of them are big. I think one of the important things to know about Hong Kong is before the protests, Hong Kong is one of the easiest cities to live in. Crime rate is really low. You can go out. You can walk through a park at midnight and not worry about your personal safety. And the public transport is fantastic. And so it's sort of an adjustment for people who have lived that life. So it's things like we talked to a guy who is now having to leave half an hour earlier to get to work because we've been dealing with transport delays. Protesters have been stopping trains from leaving stations, which means that your train is delayed or just doesn't arrive. And so Hong Kongers who haven't ever had to deal with transport issues are now having to think about whether they take buses instead or just leaving a little bit earlier. For parents in Hong Kong, it's a lot about, you know, figuring out ways to keep their kids safe. So I talked to a mum whose teenage daughter was going out at night, and she was asking her to just send her a text every hour to say that she was okay, and that she wasn't sort of surrounded by protests.
Has anyone said that they're going to leave Hong Kong for good?
Yeah, we did talk to one woman who was saying that her and her husband had been thinking that they would be there for a couple of years more, and are now kind of considering whether or not they'll stay, or maybe they'll start looking at going home a little bit earlier. Things aren't probably bad enough yet that a lot of people are thinking about leaving, but there is that sort of general, let's see if this gets worse, maybe we think about where we want to go next. But that's mainly an expat view, I think, as opposed to people who live here long term.
What else are people doing to plan for this weekend?
I think we've all become much more aware of what's going on in local news. There's an app that's popped up. It is actually a Chinese language app, so it's not so good for expats, but I know that locals here have started keeping an eye on it because it's one of the places that protesters talk about where they're going to meet and what they're up to, so you can kind of get aware of be aware of it. And it's just sort of understanding that protests are often worst on a Sunday, so maybe Sundays are days that you sort of think about being at home or staying away from areas where protests have kind of typically been happening.
You can find our full coverage of the ongoing situation in Hong Kong up on WSJ.com.
Kim Gittleson with the Wall Street Journal's Lucy Kramer. And that's what's news for Friday afternoon. I'm Charlie Turner for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.